Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
As I'm sure you know by now, I am all about celebrating the different seasons of life. And in particular, I love being able to welcome the new ones. And my next guest today just so happens to be stepping into a new season of her life right now. After settling into married life, releasing a memoir, and welcoming a new baby, Priyanka Chopra Jonas is getting back into familiar territory. She is kicking butt on screen. She plays a spy in Prime Video's action drama Citadel, and she's also in the romantic comedy Love Again. I sat down with Priyanka for today's spring cover story, which, by the way, was my first cover interview. Hello, new season. I was in New York and she was in Mumbai, India. We connected virtually and we talked about life as a working mom, forging ahead after the passing of her father, and of course, what it's like being married to a Jonas brother. As you'll hear, Priyanka is honest, she is deeply reflective, and beautifully open to this next phase of life. I found her to be so inspiring, and I know you will too. I'm Hoda Kotb. Welcome to a bonus episode of my podcast, Making Space.
You know what you do? You get stuff done. Okay? You get stuff done. Has that been kind of the secret sauce? Because you're not here by accident, obviously. You're a talented human being. You've got all the things going for you. But how much did that play into your success?
I am goal-oriented. I am solution-oriented. I don't get stuck in a problem. I like to, you know, figure it out. And I feel like when you can figure it out, then you move a lot faster than people who kind of get stuck. And I used to, when I was younger, I would definitely get stuck. But I think being in the industry kind of teaches you that, you know, survival of the fittest, and the only way you kind of survive is by actually doing the work and getting stuff done.
But it means you got to be confident in your voice. You have to be confident that, you know, number one, you'll be heard. You have to be confident. And I find women, it took me, Priyanka, until very late in my career where I felt like I had a voice. What I said mattered. What I said was important. I could ask for my what I deserved to get paid. But that took me a long, long time. When did that come to you?
I think I didn't know any different when I started working first, because I was this 17 or 18. I was a teenager. And to me, it didn't matter what I got paid. I was just happy to get the job. I was really happy to be in the mix. I was really happy to get, you know, I was learning the craft. I'd never been to school, acting school or anything. So, you know, my observations were just, you know, what is everyone else doing around me? How can I learn? And I think that's something I still have. I'm a student of life. I don't expect that I know everything. So when I ask for something, it never comes from a place of, even now, it doesn't come from a place of, I expect this done. It comes from a place of, here's why it needs to be done. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, I come with reason, because I don't like being told no to. So I make the situation such that it's hard to say no, where I'll be like, this is why it's necessary. Here's why we should make the change. I'm not someone who likes conflict. I love collaboration. So I always make it, and that started very young. I feel like when you give people, I learned, and I tell young girls this, specifically girls, but mostly for young people, is confidence is not self-taught. It's not something you're born with. It's not something that you'll always have. There'll be days where you're completely underconfident and don't feel the best. My job, I don't have the luxury, or yours, to be able to go to set and be like, I'm having an underconfident day. We still have to do this. We still have to perform. I've been up since 6 a.m. It's almost 9 at night, but I'm here talking to you, you know, because I'm going to give it my 100%. And I feel like that kind of attitude just leads to other people having confidence in you. And then that leads to you having self-worth.
Well, talk about, I mean, self-confidence from being a kid. I mean, you came to this country, I think you were 13. I mean, most 13s, there's no more awkward or insecure or scared time in your life than that. That little window right there, yet somehow you had the moxie to come here. You had the moxie to say, I want to try this. I mean, that's big confidence for a kid that age.
It was. I don't know if I had the confidence. I think I just didn't know any better. I was just really excited about going to America because to me, American high schools were like, you know, Beverly Hills 90210 or like Saved by the Bell. In my country, in India, we have like 60 to 100 kids in one class. We don't go out into the hallways. The teachers come to us. Cause can you imagine in between classes, if there were 100 kids from every class in the hallways? So our teachers come to us. We never got to like the American school system was just so fascinating to the teenage me. I was like, wow, you guys didn't have uniforms. We had to wear uniforms because the socioeconomic background of most children is very different. So to create uniformity in school, it's mandatory to have uniforms. Whereas in America, you could wear whatever you want. Plus, I was also in a girls' school till I was in the 12th grade. So the added benefit of, you know, being around boys was very enticing at that point.
Yes. So wait, were you, I was always embarrassed about boys and dating at that age. I always wondered, would anyone even look my way? What did you feel like when you were that age?
I liked looking. I didn't know I could do anything about it, but I went to boarding school when I was in second grade, third grade. My mom sent me to boarding school because my parents had just exited the army and they were setting up their own private practice. So, and my brother was born. He was a premature baby. There was a lot happening in my parents' life. So they sent me to boarding school when I was 8 or 9 for about 2 years. And when I went there as a baby. But when I came back to my parents' home and went back to my school, I was like, I'm a woman. You haven't lived. You still live with your parents. I went to boarding school. I lived by myself. I had this like, with my classmates, I had this crazy sense of confidence where I would tell them what happens when you don't have adults supervising you. I would tell them like, you know, how fun it is when you're in a dormitory with like 7 other kids and it's, or like, you know, 20 other kids and it's like a slumber party at night. And they used to look up at me as if I'd had this magical experience at Narnia, which was inaccurate. I just kind of made it up. And I realized, I think, you know, looking back, I think a lot of confidence comes from, I don't like to say fake it till you make it because I don't believe in faking anything. I think talking to yourself and having a dialogue with yourself, which hypes you to be what you need to be, is a very healthy thing. And I think in different phases of my life, I kind of taught myself or learned how to be my own hype girl. And it kind of helped me navigate many really crazy situations, like especially coming to America at 13 and, you know, going to a school where I didn't even know what to do in a cafeteria. I used to have my lunch in the bathroom inside one of the stalls because I was so nervous. I didn't know how to go to the cafeteria and get food. I used to get Doritos from a vending machine and just go to the bathroom, quickly eat and go to my next class. So I didn't have to meet kids for a really long time till I learned.
Did you have friends? Did you feel a part of something or?
Eventually I made friends. But in the beginning, like this is the first, like, say 3 or 4 weeks when I didn't know anyone. And I used to just, the vending machine was easy. I preferred my own environment because I just didn't understand how to navigate hallways, how to find homeroom, how to go to a cafeteria, how do you grab a tray? All that was new for me. So I think I observed for the first 3 or 4 weeks. And then I got the confidence because I had seen what kids do. I got the confidence to walk into the cafeteria and I was like, all right, now I know what to do. I'm not going to look like an idiot.
Did you ever feel, I mean, I felt this way when I was in school for much of my life. My parents came here from Egypt and they wanted us to be red, white,
How
and blue.
How old were you?
I was born in the States, but they came here as newlyweds and my brother, sister and I were all born here. But somehow you always are kind of different. Like I remembered playing Spin the Bottle when I was probably in sixth grade and I was praying it would land on Todd and it did. And when he looked at me when it landed, he said, I think that's going too far. And I'll never forget it. It was like a knife in my heart because I had dreamt of that moment. But it kind of reminded me that sometimes you aren't quite in with the other kids. And that kind of underscored it for me. I didn't know what your experiences were like in school. Did you feel like you fit or not?
No, I don't think I didn't think I ever fit. And I don't know if it had to do with me being Indian or it had to do with me being non-American. I think that's kind of what it was. I was an immigrant kid. I spoke differently. I tried to fit in a lot. I changed a lot of my identity when I was in ninth grade to kind of fit in. I was in Queens for a short period, like a couple of semesters, because my aunt, who I was living with, was moving around. And living in New York just in ninth grade made me realize that the world is not just one type of people. There are so many different kinds of people. And then after that, when I moved around, I kind of had an arsenal of that, you know, if you're made to feel isolated, it's not kind of true, because Queens was like this incredible melting pot of like people from Ethiopia to people from like Afghanistan to like, you just, in my own block, I met like people from everywhere in the world. It was incredible, but I never felt like I fit into school, because I came from a conservative family. You know, my family wasn't about, you can go out at 9, you can date boys, like that stuff didn't exist. So, and that was very different. And I had to kind of explain it, why I can't talk to boys. So that would be really embarrassing, even though I was someone who liked the attention, even though I was someone who liked to wear makeup. And I would come back home dressed in whatever I went to school in. But when I went to school, I would change into like the shortest shorts, and crop tops, and, you know, do all of that stuff. But trying to fit in is such a big part of being a teenager that I think I did the same thing. But I remember my crush was Seth, and he had green hair, and this was me, and he never knew I existed. I may have mustered up the courage to say hi once, and that was the only time he looked at me, and he just smiled and walked away. But he was never in my league. And I absolutely understand what you felt. But the fact that he smiled at me or even looked at me when I said hi, or I think I passed him a pencil or something, he was in front of me, but he looked at me and my day was made.
Coming up, Priyanka on love, loss, and leaning on her husband, Nick Jonas, when she needed him the most. Stay with us.
Every parent is a busy parent. There's enough on your plate without piling on your kids' homework. And considering how much teaching methods have changed, most of us are a little rusty anyway. Consider IXL, an excellent resource for homework that can make a huge impact on your child's ability to learn. Backed by research, kids using IXL are actually scoring higher on their tests. Our techniques help them master topics in a fun way, complete with positive feedback. We're seeing improvements all across the country as IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. And IXL is also very affordable. 1 month of IXL costs less than the typical hour of tutoring. On just one website, IXL covers all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. Sign up today to get 20% off your membership at IXL.com/HODA. That's IXL.com/HODA.
Well, there's so many things that shaped you and formed who you are. As you're talking, you're someone who uses your hands, and I love that. And of course, you've got a tattoo I see that says, Daddy's Little Girl. And I was thinking about you and that moment and what an impact your father has had on you in your lifetime. And we have a lot in common. My dad passed away too. I was in college when it happened to me, but I remembered thinking like, thank you. I remembered wondering one day, and I asked myself this question too, what did you lose that day? So what did you lose the day your father passed?
I think I lost my greatest cheerleader. I felt like that for the longest time. And don't get me wrong, my mom is cheering me all the way. And, you know, she handles my whole life when I'm out to work. Like, she's with the baby right now when I'm talking to you, you know, and makes my life completely amazing and has been my mentor from when I was a kid. But my dad was my cheerleader. He used to get so excited if I ever won an award, if I signed a new movie. He was my hype guy. He would love just standing and watching me be, you know, on set, just being me. He just loved that. He would just want to be around to watch me do what I do. And that was a very isolating feeling when he left. I kind of was very disoriented. I felt like, you know, I don't know how to cheer myself on. I didn't know how to get excited. I went into a really dark place because I was very, very close to my father. Cancer is a really bad disease. It to see the deterioration of a human being. And my father was a defense army man. You know, he used to wear his, you know, uniform and ride in his bike and handsome, tall, and life of a party. And then to see what that disease did to him in his last few days kind of really broke me as well. But I felt like I had lost my cheerleader. I think I lost that day.
A lot of us go through life and we always compare someone who we fall in love with our fathers. I think it's a natural way that we go through life. You need someone who measures up somehow. Well, look at you. You found this wonderful, wonderful man named Nick, who, what was it about him and what is it about your love story that you think makes this so magical and makes it work?
He's my cheerleader. He's the most secure man I've ever been with. He gets extremely excited at my wins. He takes off my extensions at the end of the night. He fixes my dress when I walk off stage and makes sure it looks right when I'm on the carpet. He brings me my coffee first thing in the morning. He's all the things that, you know, a girl dreams of, and you kind of never end up having it when, you know, you have all of those aspirations and you're let down. But my husband is the kindest, most generous, gentle, thoughtful man, and also extremely intelligent and patient. He's just so even-tempered, can handle any kind of thing thrown at him, and also has the ability to be vulnerable with me. Honest and vulnerable about his fears, I think just having the honesty to be able to say anything to your person and know that that's nothing can faze them, and they're still with you and will still grab your hand when you walk out the door, no matter what happens to you, is a very safe feeling. And I feel safe with my husband. I wish that for everyone.
Mm. I feel like sobbing right now, although I'm not going to because it would be weird. But by the way, that's so beautiful. And what I like is whether love takes time or whether love happens in an instant, when you know, you know. And you guys were like Whirlwind City. And here you sit with a beautiful baby and a beautiful relationship. Just the way it was
our
intended.
Our relationship has only evolved. You're right, because we didn't know each other very well. We didn't know each other's lives and temperaments, but we knew that there was something that just drew us together. Wherever we went, we were just drawn to each other. I knew him for almost 2 years before we started dating. And I mean, I've said this before, but honestly, I didn't give it much of a chance because, you know, I was like, he's 25 years old. He's a rock star. Like, I want to get married. I want to settle down. I want to have a baby. I was 35 at the time. And I was like, I've been there, done the fun thing. Like, now I'm in a place where I wanted stability. And I didn't give Nick enough credit till I went out with him on our first date. And then we spent like the whole evening together. And I realized my husband is just like an old soul. He's stability in human form.
Mm. Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. Baby Malty, which is like, I don't know how you can improve upon what is it looks like a beautiful, perfect life, but that's how you do it right there. That little baby, first of all, that baby tested you. When that baby came into the world, it was scary
and the baby needed love, care, and all of your prayers and everything. What were those initial days like when Malty was born?
This is another really amazing example of the strength that my husband has. I kind of like shut down. When we heard, I didn't know how to react. And I remember he just held me by my shoulders and he said, and I said, just tell me what to do because I don't know what to do. And he's like, just get into the car with me. Just change, get into the car with me. And we drove to the NICU. I mean, we drove to the hospital. She was born. And from the moment she took her first breath to now, she's never been without one of us, ever. From her first breath, we used to divide our days where, so that because we were both working, if I would take the morning shift and stay in the ICU with her for like 6 or 7 hours, we used to do skin to skin because the nurses, I mean, in a NICU, they do God's work. And they really encouraged us to be very hands-on with her, even though she was so tiny. She was in the hospital for about 110 days. And then Nick would come in the evening and I would go home and then he would spend like 5-6 hours with her. And I don't think it was our test. I think it was her test. I realized very, very early that I did not have the luxury to be scared or to be weak because she was scared and she was weak. And I had to be her strength as her mom. I needed to make her feel at every given moment that she's not alone, that she has someone who can handle her, that we've got her. And that's all we did. And we prayed and we were there with her every single moment. And today she's the greatest gift of our lives. Just like my whole life, our whole lives revolve around her.
Oh my gosh. I love the name Malty. That just come out
it's
of the
blue. It's my mom's middle name.
It's your mom's middle name. Oh my God.
It's my mom's middle name is Malty and his mom's middle name is Marie. So she's called Malty Marie.
Malty Marie. How beautiful. And she's with you right now?
Yeah, she's asleep with my mom, actually.
Of course. I love the idea that she's never been without you. When you finally were able to bring Malty home out of the NICU into your house and you were finally a family in a, you know, in your home, in a normal setting. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was terrifying because I was being a NICU parent, you really get used to the monitor. And NICU parents watching this will understand that. Like, you know your child is alive because you can see their heartbeat. I couldn't sleep for days because now suddenly she was home without a monitor. I used to like put my ear on her chest. I would wake up every couple of, you know, minutes to just see if she's okay. For weeks, this went on till I found a camera that could do it. And then I was like, all right, I could sleep better because I could see her heartbeat.
Wow, I love it. You know what? It's so crazy when I think about your life because it has all the facets. You are a beautiful mom and a loving wife. And then in the show Citadel, you're like kicking ass. Like every woman is like, yes, like I want to have that kind of moxie. I mean, is there a part of you who has that kind of stuff inside you, like your character does in Citadel?
I think so. I'm from the land of India. I'm from the land of Gandhi. I believe in nonviolence, but I could take someone on. I'm pretty sure of that.
I mean, you're strong. Girl, that you're strong too. I mean, how do you have, like, seriously, the time to do all of the different things? How do you parse that out?
I used to burn the candle on both ends. I won't lie. When I first started my 20s, I'd never even taken a vacation for 10 years because, you know, I was greedy. I was like, I want to do everything. I don't want someone else to have this part. If I would make schedule my days in a way where I could do 4 movies a year because I wanted to do everything. I was just hungry. And then slowly I realized that just chipped away at my soul. I didn't know who I was. I didn't have preferences, likes, dislikes. Everything was just my work. And that's fine because I'm extremely blessed to have an incredible career and for almost 23 years now. And, you know, our jobs are not the most stable. Like, I don't know where, you know, as an actor, you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from. You just have to get to the next job. So I've managed all right for almost two decades. But in the beginning, it was crazy. After that, in my 30s, I think I realized that the thing that they say about work-life balance actually is a real thing. And now I've reached a point where I work till it's bath time at about 7 o'clock. And then after that, I'm not available. That's my time with my family. We do bath time, story time, bedtime, and then it's Nick and our my time, whether we go out, whether we have friends over, whether we just sit together and watch a movie. Like, having family time is, it just makes me want to do and conquer the world when I wake up and do a million things, and I can do them really well because I know that I come back home to my family. And that just, that's such a priority to me now.
Beautiful. Do you, I know you started your career as a singer. Do you sing to your little daughter?
Yeah, but my husband's better at it.
I was going to say.
My singing career lasted 2 minutes. His
well, you know
lasted
what?
23
I just
years.
He honked all that because there's something about, is there something particular that soothes your daughter when she hears a certain song or when you read her a certain book?
My mom used to sing me a lullaby that she made up when I was a baby. And I used to sing that to her. It's in Hindi. And I used to sing that to her in the NICU. And I still sing that to her. Or Hindi nursery rhymes. There's Lakri Ki Kathi. And there are a lot of others, which I've always tried to... I want her to be bilingual. I want her to know her roots. Today, we're in Mumbai right now. We went to one of the largest temples, Siddhivinayak Temple, with Malti. In Mumbai for the first time. She is eating Indian food like I've never seen. Like, it's spicy for me. And she's like in both her hands as if she's eating ice cream. And, you know, so that was very important to me from the beginning. And that really soothes her. When I speak to her in Hindi and when I sing those Hindi songs to her, she gets really excited. Her hands start clapping and a big smile happens. And
I want to hear a little Hindi song. I know, I don't think I've ever heard one.
Oh, yeah, I'll send you some. Don't ask me to sing it.
Worth a try.
More with Priyanka Chopra Jonas when we come back.
When you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member, you'll know a thing or two about an expertly packed capsule wardrobe that balances business and leisure. So you can go from conference sleek to cocktail party chic with a few new accessories. You can hustle from 9 to 5 before exploring with ease from 5 to 9. Because you're the chief excursion officer. The Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card. If you travel, you know. Learn more at go.amex/business.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
So if you have an empty day, Priyanka, and I mean there's nothing on your calendar, your baby's well-loved and cared for, and you open those eyes and you're like, this is a day that's for me, how does that day play out for you?
Well, I stay in bed for a while then. I love just vegetating in bed. It's not my husband's cup of tea. He wakes up and he's out the door for some reason, and he doesn't know the luxury of just laying in your bed for 2 hours and sipping on a coffee and, I don't know, reading the news. I still love the tangible nature of a newspaper.
Uh-huh.
So we still subscribe to a bunch of them. Like, I love being able to just sit in my bed, have a cup of coffee and read the newspaper, or, like, look at the news on my phone. And then I'll have a languid head shower. Like, I love when I have a shower where you wash your hair and, like, you know, I do face mask and a beauty day. I'll do a steam. And then I would love to, you know, eat some great food and watch or start watching either like a real murder crime show or something again my husband won't want to watch. Or like, I don't know, Dubai Bling or something, a reality show. And episodes of that. Yeah, that would be great.
You know, you just, you know what?
And then end it with friends.
You need like a mindless day. That's really what you need.
I love mindless days.
How do you fill your spirit?
I love reading. I love traveling. When I travel, I love observing. I love culture. You know, they say when in Rome, I really am a believer of that. Wherever in the world I go, I eat local food in every country I go to. And I'm kind of training my daughter how to do that too. She's extremely, her palate is very global. From Korean barbecue to pasta to Indian food, she's great. But my spirit gets filled with people, travel, culture, laughs, jokes, community, good times, a table full of food and family and friends. It's truly what fulfills my soul. But also being able to go to work and, you know, when people watch my work, for them to say, wow, I can't believe you did that. Even after all of these years, it's the most satisfying thing to me when my work is appreciated by the people that I work with and the audiences that watch my work. Like, that really fulfills my spirit because I put a lot of myself in my job.
You seem so comfortable in your own skin, like you know exactly who you are, you know exactly what you want and why you want it. Being comfortable in our bodies is sometimes a different thing. It takes years sometimes. Some people go to their grave and they're never comfortable. They just want to be in a muumuu and hide. When was your most difficult challenges with your body and how you perceived it? And how do you feel now in your own skin?
I mean, I think the 30s were kind of tumultuous for me when it came to my body. You know, because as you grow, you know, your body's changing. And I was going from this 20s like body, which is, you know, metabolism is at its highest. And then you reach your mid 30s and you're like, oh, I can't skip a meal and it'll just look great. Like, you can't do that. You can't just work out for 4 days and come back to your, you know, pre-vacation body. But I think that, you know, the standards of beauty in the industry are, especially for women, extremely skewed. And I've spoken about this tremendously. My dad passed away. I had moved countries. I had come to America. I was filming Quantico at that time. I didn't have many friends. I was in New York. I felt a lack of community. I would emotionally eat. I would just emotionally drink. I wasn't taking care of myself in the best possible way. And it had nothing to do with how people perceived me, but I perceived myself as not the best version of myself. And it was a really tough time for me to be able to like say, all right, I'm gonna, you know, do what's good for my body, because emotionally I wasn't there. And I think that's okay. I've thought about that phase in my life a lot, and my body needed to mourn. My heart needed to mourn. And yeah, you know, I needed pizzas to do it. So I allowed myself to do that, pizza and a bottle of wine and a movie. You know, my heart needed it. I did it for a while. And then I reached a point where I knew that, you know, bottom had been hit. And now the only way was up, and I started taking one step and another step, you know, maybe going to the gym 2 times or maybe even walking for breakfast or starting to find my health again, my mental and physical health, trying to reach out to friends. Friends had stopped inviting me to things because I would never go. I just wanted to go home and just hide. And then slowly I would say yes, or I would reach out to someone. I started choosing myself instead of the darkness that is seductive and that kind of reaches out for you sometimes. And that can happen to anyone anytime. As soon as you choose what's good for you and stop waiting for somebody else to be, you know, that hand to pull you out of it, it's a very powerful thing.
You're unbelievable. I swear, that was so awesome.
We're crying over here, okay? We're crying over here. We have people in our room crying. Priyanka, thank you so much. Thanks for the time. Thanks for staying up late. Thanks for being amazing. Thank you.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode of Making Space. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Priyanka Chopra Jonas. I know I did. And if you haven't already, follow Making Space and check out all of our other episodes from the last three seasons, available wherever you're listening now.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.